And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by the Ford F-Series. DJ Bucky here from the Beastquake Conference Room. What's up, Buck?
What's going on, man? It's been a good day so far. Excited about some of the things we got going on.
Yeah, today's show got some cool stuff going down today on the show. Why don't you tell the folks what we got coming up today, Buck?
Part of my excitement stems from our conversation with Penn State head coach James Franklin. We're going to take a look at Monday Night Football, review some of the players, particularly Marcus Mariota. And then we have our offensive line of the week, a surprise team makes that list.
All right, so we got a lot to jump into. Let's start off, as we do every week, with what happened the night before. Monday Night Football, big win there. First time in a long time that the Tennessee Titans have been able to defeat the Indianapolis Colts. And Buck, went back and watched this football game this morning. Didn't see it last night. Watched the tape, especially focused in on the Tennessee Titans offense. They went 36-22. A couple of those running backs got loose. Derrick Henry, big game, 131 yards, including a long touchdown at the end of the game. I'll get to that play in a little bit. But something that you've talked about a lot with the development of young quarterbacks, and watching this game, it was so evident to me that this is how they're using Marcus Mariota. I don't want to say the word protecting him, but how they found a formula that works. And a lot of times we look at just number of runs versus number of passes. They were very balanced, 34 runs, 32 passes. But to me, when they're throwing the football, it's primarily one of three things. One is off of the run game, off play action. It could be an RPO or whatever. There's run action involved. That's number one. Number two, you get five out in the route. Get five guys out. It's a quick decision. It's get the ball out of your hand right away. You've got a lot of options. Find a soft spot. Get the ball out of your hands. And then number three is that they want to take deep shots down the field. It's eight-man protection. It's max protection. It's a two-man route. They had one where they allowed Eric Decker kind of ran a little out and up and came back, turned into a comeback. I mean, it was an intricate route that took forever to get there. But it's max protection. It's get everybody out, or it's use the run game. It's not he's just taking a five-step drop with a six-man protection and kind of working through the field. That's not what they're doing.
No, that's not. I think it's the evolution of the quarterback position and how you're having to coach these young guys. You have to put them in their sweet spot, put them in their comfort zone. We are seeing more of these young quarterbacks have success when the offensive coordinator, the play caller, is designing plays that are very, very similar and familiar to them from their college days. Look, we never thought that this – National Football League would evolve to this kind of offense. But the way we're seeing it and the way we're seeing the young guys respond, I think more and more teams are going to continue to steal ideas from the college game to help their young quarterbacks get going.
And everybody asks the question, right? How do you know, a couple years ago, how do these spread quarterbacks transition to the NFL? It's a different game. It's not really a different game anymore. It's become more and more like Saturdays. We've been beating that drum for a long time. But now you're really seeing it when you study these offenses. Not only it's not gimmicky. It's just they found a different way to play the position to get the job done. And it's not even about don't throw the box scores out in these football games. I think Mariota, how many 300 yard games does he have?
He's only had four 300 yard games in his career, including last night.
But they've got a formula and they've got an offense that fits his skill set, and they know how to win football games.
Yeah, and I think that's the main thing. The guy's a winner. He was a winner at Oregon. He has come into the National Football League. He's kind of figured out what he can do well. They put him in an offense that really maximizes his talent as a dual threat playmaker, and they're winning games. So as long as everything around him is good, the running game is good, the receivers, they've upgraded the receiver core to help him with more dependable guys. And look, he continues to grow in this offense. And as the offensive coordinator, Terry Rubisky, continues to add more elements to the offense, I think we'll see Marcus Mariota's game continue to take a step forward.
Remember those doubters for Derrick Henry when he was coming out? He's high cut. He's too big. It's not going to work. We had this discussion. I remember having this chat probably, I don't know if we're on the air or off the air. But I remember just saying, look, at the end of the day, he's I know a couple things. He's huge. He's fast and he's productive.
Yep.
So that is irrefutable. You can't debate that. Now everybody says, "Oh no, he's a slow starter, this, that, and the other." I don't know. He did it at a pretty high level in the SEC, and he's continued to do it. Big game for him against the Indianapolis Colts.
A very big game. I mean, he saw the big 72-yard run at the end of the game. The big thing with Derrick Henry, and we talked about this during the run-up to the draft, he's a guy that was going to need a bit of a runway to get going. He's kind of a long strider, not necessarily a nifty or quick jump cut guy, but he has the ability to make cutbacks when the holes present themselves. But he is a load. And they are beginning to give him an opportunity to run the ball when it matters, particularly down the stretch. He's showing that he can respond. We saw the big run against a tired defense. This exotic smash mouth attack that Mike Mularkey promised is certainly looking like it can deliver big, big results to Tennessee.
And it's kind of weird because I remember we had this chat. So people think about how big he is and think, oh, he's just an inside runner. He's at his best when he can go lateral, put a foot in the ground, and then burst upfield. That's where he's at his best because he's not going to be shifty in tight areas, working inside the tackles, being able to laterally shift and make people miss. That's not his game. But you get him going lateral, find a crease, and once he finds a crease, he hits it. And if you don't square him up, you've got no shot at getting him on the ground.
You have no shot. I mean, he makes you make business decisions in the back end. He's big, talking about 240 pounds, guy that can run low 4.440, and he doesn't mind dropping the hammer on you. Yeah, it's a tough day when he gets loose in the secondary because I don't think many secondary members, safeties, corners, want to really deal with a big back like that.
Looking on the other side of the ball, I thought you kind of saw – look, I'm the biggest fan there is of Malik Hooker throughout the process. Had an outstanding pass breakup with Delanie Walker down there in the red zone, down the end zone, where you saw his just instincts, being able to play the football, great play. But two touchdowns in this game, you can kind of point to Malik Hooker. Looked in one, they were in kind of a quarter-quarter half look. He's a high safety. He got spun around, long touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
And then you saw him on the Derrick Henry touchdown. Look, you're the last man. You tell that kid when you're coaching little kids, you're the free safety.
Find a way to get him down.
Just get him on the ground. I don't care. You don't have to be some killer out there. Just drag him to the ground. He doesn't do it. 72-yard run, kind of the exclamation point in this football game. So making plays outstanding. Love that about Malik Hooker, but he's got to clean up some stuff as well.
He has to be a tackler. The biggest issue for him in the draft was would he be a solid enough tackler, a guy that would come downhill, make big tackles at the line of scrimmage or near the line of scrimmage. And everyone had their debates because he's a natural basketball player. He's a terrific center fielder. But at the end of the day, there's a level of toughness and physicality that you have to exhibit if you're going to be a high-level safety. He has to continue to work on that part of his game because in terms of pass defense, he has those tools, but he has to be able to come down here and bang a little bit if he's going to be a starting safety.
No question. He's doing a lot of things really well. Still some areas he can improve. All right, time now for the offensive line of the week presented by the Ford F-Series. This is something our buddy Sean O'Hara does, NFL.com/Ford. You can check out the Build Ford Tough O-line of the week. He actually ranks the top five. However, I don't know what Sean did this week. I don't know who he's got, but we get to do our own winner, Buck. And my nomination is the Chicago Bears, just because the Baltimore Ravens are a defensive-oriented football team. They've been playing great defense there for a long time. This is the most rushing yards they've ever given up.
I mean, it's hard to knock that. When you look at the numbers, 54 rushes, 231 rushing yards, being able to run it at will, whether they knew it was coming or not, they continued to pound the ball in between the tackles, running on the edges effectively. Chicago Bears offensive line deserves a lot of credit. I had the Tennessee Titans as a close second, but the Bears deserved it not because this production is ridiculous.
Yeah, and to me, you look at Mitch Trubisky. He did not play great in this game. He was 8-16,
no.
Got sacked four times. Some of those on him holding on to the football. But this is the formula for them. Run the ball 54 times and tell Mitch three. I need you to make three plays, either with your legs or with your arm, and he found a way, a nice touchdown, getting outside the pocket, had a couple big runs. But if you can give you three big plays and don't throw interceptions, if you can do that, we'll be in football games, we'll have a shot.
You know, having been around John Fox for a long time, he's okay with that formula. He believes in that. We're going to run it. We're going to play great defense. Quarterback make a handful of plays. The game would be there to be won in the fourth quarter. We've seen the Chicago Bears be able to do it. This has been a very, very competitive team throughout the season. It's just a matter of getting that solid play from the quarterback. And it won't be great from a rookie at that position, but if he can just avoid the big miscues, give them a little something as a runner, and find a way to make those three plays that you allude to, yeah, the Bears can win some games.
One more thing I want to get to before we have some fun with James Franklin, talk about Saquon Barkley a little bit, as well as recap last week in the college football weekend there. The New Orleans Saints, Buck, what they've done, they made some moves. Obviously, they trade Brandon Cooks in the offseason, get a draft pick. I want to focus on the defensive side of the ball. Got to upgrade there. I think it's safe to say after watching what they've done the last couple of weeks, this is a team that's much improved on the defensive side of the ball.
Much improved on the defense side of the ball. Just looking at the stats the last three games, they've given up 17 points per game. They've produced 9 takeaways, 3 defensive scores. And the way they're doing it, they're trying to do it really by leaning on the blitz. This is a team that blitz from every angle. They're trying to bring a lot of pressure, but with pressure, it causes chaos for the quarterback, and we're seeing the turnovers because they're able to get people around the bodies of the quarterback. A lot of defenders, balls of tips, overthrown, errant passes, hurry passes. They're leading to interceptions. And so the Saints are playing very, very well on defense. It's one of the reasons why they're back in the race in the NFC South.
Yeah, one other defender, Marshawn Lattimore, their rookie, just watched him for something I'm doing for NFL Playbook show. And, Buck, he's playing at a high level. Had the pick six in that game off of a tip. You always talk about tips and overthrows. Gets the pick six. But to me, it wasn't even the biggest contribution that he made, because they're down there in the red zone. It's a fourth down. He's in zone. He kind of sinks with the corner, and then they throw in the flat. He bursts up, secures the tackle short of the goal line. That's a huge stop. And then even late in the game, they had a turnover, a fumble recovery. After the scoop, there's another fumble. He's hustling. He's around the football, falls on it. So he had his hand in three big plays in this ball game. And from an athletic, fluid standpoint, and just he's a smooth operator. He's Sade out there.
I mean, he is smooth. He's very natural. He can make all the turns and transitions that you want to see. My biggest issue with him coming out, was he going to be dependable enough in terms of his durability, because injuries had been an issue?
Hamstrings, right?
And then was he going to be tough enough to come up and smack a little bit on the corner? He has shown that he can hold his own, and when he's healthy and right and on the field, he is really an upper echelon player at the position.
Last nugget here, and then we'll move on to the college game. If you're coaching quarterbacks, if you're working with quarterbacks, I think an area where you need to spend more time watching how the college game has evolved and watching how the NFL game has evolved. We spend so much time with footwork. You know, you spend footwork and you spend time with your throwing motion, this, that, and the other. Ball handling. Some of the ball handling we see on Saturdays and Sundays is so intricate. It's so much more involved than the stuff that I grew up with, simple play action and simple boot. Now with all the different RPOs and all the different action you have with the ghost motion and all these RPOs, man, you got to really work on your ball handling if you're a quarterback right now.
You absolutely have to work on your ball handling. I think what's interesting, it takes me back to a conversation that we had with a couple coaches at the Pac-12 Media Day. Clay Helton in particular talked about the quarterbacks that he wanted were basketball players, point guards. And all I can think about now are those drills that you used to do in the gym where you're circling the ball around, the figure eight drills with the ball in between your legs, different passing drills that you go back and forth, making the ball feel like an extension of your hand. The quarterback has to feel the same way when he's in the pocket dealing with the ball. Ball security, ball handling is critical to being able to be a successful deceiver at the quarterback position.
No question. All right, Buck, for decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of its customers. So Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were fed up with getting ripped off, started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own blade factory. By taking less profit selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price. Just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore.
Harry's is so confident that you will love their blades, they are giving you their trial set for free. Just cover shipping. Your free trial includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shaving gel, and a travel blade color. That's a $13 value for you to try.
So stop messing around. Get started shaving with Harry's today by claiming your free trial offer, $13 value for free. Just cover shipping. To get your free trial set, including a razor handle, 5 blade cartridge, and shave gel, go to Sticks right now. That's harrys.com/sticks. Let me give you that one more time. harrys.com/sticks. All right, Buck, let's jump into the college weekend we had last weekend. Pick-wise, we were just average. It was not my best week, but did have a chance to go to the USC football game and check out Sam Darnold. I actually took my son. It was his birthday. Took him and a buddy. Went down there, got down there in the field before warm-ups, and be able to take in the ball game and see him. Sloppy early on, I'm sure, as you saw watching the ball game, very sloppy early on. Ball handling, we were just talking about. Sam Darnold's had an issue with putting the ball on the ground, a couple fumbles, and this game had a couple fumbles against Oregon State. So a lot of the focus has been on the interceptions. Fumbles he's got to clean up as well. But as we always say with Sam Darnold, down 14 points, money time, got to have it. Third downs, fourth downs, second half. He makes it happen.
He does make it happen. I think his best quality is going to be his ability to find a way to win games. He is the guy that understands how to lead his team to the winner's circle. There's a value in that because it's not always going to be clean. It's not always going to be pretty when you're a quarterback in the National Football League. But your quarterback needs to be able to guy with 2 minutes left, we can hand him the ball, and he can make everything right. That is the one thing that we all know confidently that Sam Darnold can do. He can make it right. when it's a critical situation.
And then let's go to the other quarterback in Los Angeles. Josh Rosen didn't have a big game. He goes to Arizona. They lose. Arizona's running the crud out of the ball with Khalil Tate, their quarterback. But Josh Rosen, a couple turnovers, maybe pressing just a little bit. Man, it's going to be interesting with him because we're going to talk to James Franklin about it in just a little bit here about what he looks for in a quarterback. But now you're kind of looking at Josh Rosen, this UCLA football team. There's a lot of challenging games ahead of them on this schedule. There's a chance they might not have a winning record this year, and how that gets viewed in the draft room I think is pretty interesting.
It's going to be critical because we had the conversation about comparing Josh Rosen to Jay Cutler. And I think it would be a very apt comparison at the end of the season if he elects to come out, because Jay Cutler at Vanderbilt never necessarily had a winning record. And I think Jay Cutler's last year at Vanderbilt, we gave him credit for leading Vanderbilt to a 5-6 record in the SEC, which was viewed as the best conference in football at the time. With Josh Rosen, when you look at the individual skills separate and apart from his winning record, he has everything: IQ, arm talent, can throw a timing and anticipation, has good enough footwork within the pocket to escape. But the attitude and the wins, that's going to be the big challenge for evaluators to determine whether he can be the face of the franchise, because he has all the physical traits. But is he a winner? Is he someone that you can hitch your wagon to and say, we're going to win a lot of games because Josh Rosen is our quarterback?
I was talking to a scout on the field before the SC game, and Baker Mayfield's name came up. Mm-hmm. They had a big win over Texas. Not a huge game for Mayfield, 300 yards, 2 touches, 1 pick. But it was interesting. I said, you know, build-wise, does he remind you at all of Russell Wilson? Because I've heard that comp a little bit. People have thrown that around. And he said, look, he's not as tightly packed as Russell was, but he is strong. And he thought from last year to this year, he said, watch him over the summer. I wasn't really enthused about his NFL prospects. But he said he is a much better football player this year. And he's kind of one of those guys, if you're not in on the big dudes, which I think are going to end up going high if they all come out top 10 picks, he's kind of being in that next group. He's being targeted as, okay, at this point in the process, Bucky, I would say second round is kind of what the chatter is with him. Okay, that's the guy we maybe not going to get in that first tier. But there's people, and he's one of them, believe he's going to be an NFL starter.
How about this? So I think it. I don't want to put him in the same conversation because I know the Twitterverse is going to be like, oh, this is crazy. How can you compare him to that?
Drew Brees?
Drew Brees.
I knew you were going there.
Top of the second round. Because yep. that was my first draft. Michael Vick goes one. He goes 32
yeah,
or
I think
whatever
it was. 32,
it was. Yeah. He comes top of the second round, and we've seen the kind of career that he's had. Now, he had some struggles early in San Diego, but once he figured it out, he's been a really, really good player, especially under a play caller that really understands his game. I think with Baker Mayfield does a great job of what I call connecting the dots. He gets the ball out. He gets it to his playmakers. At Oklahoma a season ago when he had D.D. Westbrook and all the other weapons, he looked like an outstanding player. He looks really, really good this year as well. If he goes to the right situation, if he goes to a team that understands how to utilize his talents, I think he can be a player. And then the comparison that I will make, and I'm going to throw out there early, he kind of reminds me of Jeff Garcia. Jeff Garcia Ooh. Was a little bit of an undersized, you didn't really know, but multiple-time Pro Bowler, had a lot of success in the league. I think Baker Mayfield can play the game in that fashion.
Yeah, it's fascinating. He's going to be an interesting one. Another quarterback, a West Coast quarterback over the weekend, did not have a good weekend, was having a great year. Luke Falk, Washington State goes down to Cal 37-3. He has no touchdowns, 5 picks. It was a rough go of it there for Luke Falk. Also fumbled a couple times, lost one of them. Talked to a scout that was at the football game and said, you know, look, I'm not making excuses for the kid. I'm not doing it, but just it was a bizarre atmosphere at this game. It's a Friday night game coming off of a team that is 6-0, but they go on the road. They had the fires up in Northern California, so there was some doubt about whether they're going to play this football game or not. He said Cal came out there, pretty much did their regular warm-up. Washington State just came out there a little bit before the game, didn't get a full warm-up in, and it was kind of half speed. I don't know if it was – I'm sure it's because of the air quality. I didn't read anything about this, but he said it was bizarre that this team just didn't – there was no
– They didn't warm up.
They didn't have their normal routine. They just did. They came out. They weren't ready to play. They didn't show up, and they got whitewashed by Cal in that football game. So he wasn't giving Luke Falk a pass. He said, look, he didn't play good, no question about it. But there's still a lot of love in scouting circles for him. Now, I have a prominent college football broadcaster who does a lot of these games, and we were going back and forth via text. He doesn't see it with Luke Falk. Questions is his size and questions they're just the top-end arm strength that he has, which I don't think he has a huge arm. I was told – I know over the summer or over the spring when scouts went through there, he weighed 221. I was told he's now closer to 230. He carries it differently because you would never guess that in looking at him. He's going to be 6'3 and change, about 225, 230 pounds. I don't think the size is going to get him. I haven't seen him throw. Have you seen him throw live? I haven't seen him throw live.
I haven't seen him throw live, but when I watched him on tape, I just gave him.
He's got no jump. There's no jump on the
ball. C+, B minus. I wasn't overly impressed with his arm strength and his arm talent. And I felt like a lot of things that he did happened kind of in between that box, like inside the numbers from that 10 to 15-yard range. I think he's a good player. Everyone tells you his intangibles are off the charts. At the quarterback position, scouts rave about him, but I mean, I think he's okay. He's not someone I would necessarily be fired up about if he was a potential franchise quarterback that we were looking at.
How about him? The interesting debate with a lot of people is when you talk about him and you talk about going down to Mason Rudolph at Oklahoma State and comparing those two guys. I think they're in a competition jostling for position, maybe with a Baker Mayfield in that next rung after the big. I would say, you know, we'll see who all ends up coming out. But when you look at Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and even Josh Allen, I think those guys have kind of established themselves right up there at the top. And then Lamar Jackson being the ultimate wild card.
Man, I think he is the ultimate
wild
card.
He's still playing great this year.
He's playing great. And
team's
no one
not
is
very good.
Yeah, team's not good. He's having to do everything. And Bobby Petrino quickly abandoned that whole thing. I'm going to develop him like a NFL quarterback.
True pocket passer.
Yeah, I'm going to let him run around and make plays. I think the big thing will be who becomes fascinated by the sheer athleticism and talent that you could work with. I think the team that really takes a chance on a Lamar Jackson is a team that has a quarterback already in place, maybe an athletic quarterback already in place, where you can kind of have the luxury of really taking your time to develop him. You don't have to rush him onto the field.
One other point before we move on here. Talking to another personnel guy, he brought up a great point. Talking about the process now, it's been stretched out. It used to be, okay, let's watch the seniors, and then at the end of the day, we'll see what juniors come out, and we'll start looking at them. Now, at the quarterback position, these guys come in at freshmen. You're taking your notes on them. You're studying them. You're following them through the entire process to see where they are. He brought up a great point. He was actually talking about the Oregon quarterback, who we talked to at Pac-12 Media Day, Herbert, right?
Herbert.
Justin Herbert. Big kid, huge hands, tall, long. He said, this is the problem. You get a guy like that who could be developed into being just a pure pocket passer. He's got all the ability in the world. But he said, because he's mobile enough, they incorporate him in the run game. And he said, he doesn't know how to protect himself. He's getting the crap kicked out of him. Now he's missing games. He said, so some of these quarterbacks, the college game, because of the run game, they have unnecessary mileage on some of these kids when they get into the league. They're already beat up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a dilemma. It's a dilemma for college coaches, obviously, because they're not necessarily developing quarterbacks for the game, pro game. But you have to sprinkle them in enough but not do it too much. And I think the NFL has shown a blueprint with these athletic quarterbacks on how to do it and protect them. If you notice, when you watch Marcus Mariota, Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, most of their running – occurs in the red zone.
Yep.
So they run to score, or occasionally on a third down situation, they'll pull it to go around the corner and they hit right to the sideline.
Or they get down.
And so I think there's a way to incorporate that. It's you don't major in it, you minor in it, and you find a way to allow those guys to utilize their athleticism.
So the other one he was talking about, young quarterbacks, was a Texas kid.
Ellinger.
Ellinger, who is Sam Ellinger, who is a big, strong kid. A
lot of swag.
But he carried the ball 22 times against Oklahoma. He's like, I don't care how big you are. They're just getting beat to crap.
Yeah, funny story about that kid, Ellinger. He was 2 years ago at the opening. My team won the championship. I was helping out on offense and defense. We played them. I forgot who their starter was. He was the second team quarterback. He comes in the second half. I mean, we're blowing the doors. I forgot Tua Tagovailoa. We're smoking him, right? So he comes in the second half, throws a couple touchdowns. And after the game, you know, when you're shaking hands, he was like, you better be glad I didn't play the first half. I was like, oh, But I took note of that because now when I see the kid, what he has, and we'll hear this in the conversation, he has a little bit of that dude factor.
Yep.
There was a post that circulated on Twitter when he was going in the tunnel after the game, and they talked about him throwing up the hook 'em horn sign after that loss. But it was revealing because he just gets it. He's a competitive dude. He loves it. It'll be interesting to follow him. But when we talk about the it factor and what people have, he kind of has some of that the stuff that you look for at the position.
Well, that's it's interesting that you bring that up, because that's something we're going to get into here. This is our interview we had just a little bit earlier with James Franklin, the head coach at Penn State. Bucky, one of the cool things we're doing this year, NFL.com, every week we're profiling a different athlete. We take one of our talented writers. We send him out to get the goods and get all the background information on one of the top players in college football. This week, Kim Jones went back to Penn State, where she attended, and did a feature on Saquon Barkley that's outstanding. And I couldn't be more excited than to welcome our next guest, the head coach at Penn State in his fourth year, James Franklin. Chat a little bit about Saquon Barkley and this Penn State football team. Coach, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. The first question I have for you is when did you know in the process, maybe it was through recruiting or when he got on campus, with Saquon Barkley that you had something special?
Well, first of all, put the graphic of Saquon back on the monitor. Nobody wants to look at my phone. You know, Saquon, you know, when I got the job, Saquon was committed to Rutgers. And, you know, we identified him as a guy that we didn't really want leaving the state. At that time, we knew he was a good back and was going to have a nice Big Ten career. I wouldn't necessarily say that we, you know, thought he was going to be what he is today, obviously. But then I will tell you this, he committed to us, and then his senior year, he had a special senior year. You know, he started, you know, the hurdling thing that he does now. It's funny because after he graduated, he said, "Coach, I'm not going to hurdle guys anymore. You know, I'm not going to do that anymore." I said, "That don't really make a whole lot of sense to me, because in high school in the state of Pennsylvania, it's illegal, and in college, it's legal." So I'm like, it doesn't make sense that you'd stop doing it now when it's actually legal to do it in college, you know. But he's kind of like, I describe him like, you know, Frankenstein running back. Like, if you had to choose all the qualities you were looking for to build a back, he's got them. He's got the body type you're looking for. He's got the intelligence. He's got the leadership. You know, he's got the speed, the quickness, the power. He can, you know, catch the ball out of the backfield. I think that's what makes him special, is the combination of traits that he has, not one thing that you get mesmerized about, but just a combination of all the different traits.
You know, Coach, he can be a one-man show at times. His ability to do so many things, as you described, how do you harness that as a play caller? How do you get your play caller to make sure we want to feature Saquon in so many different facets to really maximize his talent on the field?
Well, I think for us, you know, we're a true RPO team. So, you know, when he carries the ball in the running game, he's carrying it into a pretty good look, because we're usually reading some defender, whether it's a DN, linebacker, safety, whatever it may be. So that helps. So, you know, we're not like a pro-style offense that you see where guys, we're just going to hand the ball off to him and run power down people's throats. So we've had a bunch of games where, you know, he doesn't necessarily touch the ball, you know, especially as a runner. You know, maybe in the first, you know, two series of the game. But we also realize that, you know, he's a difference maker. We need to get the ball in his hand. So we have a lot of different ways to do it. As a receiver, as a kickoff return guy, in a traditional running game, you know, and I think that's what also helps our offense and helps our team, is that, you know, we can use him so many different ways. So it's hard to game plan, you know, to completely eliminate him from a game. You can obviously limit his impact. When you're running a one-back offense, they can always overload you in the box, but you create other opportunities for us. So that's where I would make the argument he's the most valuable player in college football, and there's no doubt he's the most exciting. I mean, he's made some plays. I've been doing this 23 years at every level, including the NFL, and he's made some plays that just – you know, even me, my mouth is wide open watching some of the things that he's able to do.
Yeah, I had a front row seat at the Rose Bowl last year and saw just what he was capable of. He was outstanding in that football game. Coach, everybody that I talked to that's rolled through their scouts and different people close to the program say, as good as this kid is on the field, he's exceptional off the field in terms of in the locker room, his leadership, and just personality-wise. Everybody raves about this kid. Is there a story about him you could share with us that lets us know a little bit more about Saquon Barkley, the kid?
You know, I don't know if I would say, you know, one specific story. It's kind of just a combination of examples of things. You know, from a football perspective, he's never once asked for the ball more. You know, whenever he gets an opportunity to praise his teammates, that's what it's all about. It's always about the team, not about him. In the community, he's the guy that we have to pull away at the end of the game, because he'll stay out there for an hour and a half after the game, signing autographs with kids and taking pictures. You know, this weekend during our bye week, he went back to his community and went to elementary school and talked to kids. You know, whenever we have any community service projects, he's the first one in line. He just gets it. He's a guy that's really embraced the whole collegiate experience academically, athletically, socially, spiritually, and has taken advantage of all the resources and opportunities. So, you know, he's a special guy, and I'm really proud of him in so many ways, and probably more so than what he's been able to do from a football perspective.
Hey, Coach, he came up to the opening, which was held at Nike headquarters, and he had an opportunity to work out with Tom Shaw and a bunch of great college athletes. And Tom Shaw told me that he's one of the most explosive athletes that he's ever seen in terms of his strength, the power, his speed. Talk about what you see when he's away from the field, when he's going through off-season workouts or in the weight room. How diligent of a worker is he? What kind of special athlete is he?
Well, he sets the tone for our whole organization. I mean, literally, we stopped kind of testing him on testing day because, you know, at some point, you know, how much you're squatting and how much you're power cleaning and benching, you know, you've proven the point. All right. You know, we don't need to do anymore, but he's such a competitive guy. He gets in there and everybody's, you know, max testing and he wants to jump in as well. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is when you see him in person and you look at his lower body from his waist down, it's freakish. I mean, it really is. You know, you're talking about a guy who's going to run 4.3, and I don't really believe 4.3 guys exist, but he's going to run 4.3. You know, he's one of these guys, whatever you put on the bar, he'll bench, squat, or power clean. You know, he's really, really gifted. He really is in so many different ways. I mean, he's thrown a touchdown pass. He's got touchdown receptions. He's a guy that you could, you know, use like a Marshall Faulk and line him up as a wide receiver in the slot. You know, that's something I talked to him about for the last 2 years in the summer that, you know, something that he really needed to work on, whether we were going to use him at that or not, because it's going to be important for his future. You know, he's a hard working guy who gets the big picture and understands, you know, what we're trying to do from a team perspective. But he also, you know, understands the impact it's going to have on his future as well.
Coach, we got plenty there on Saquon. We can't wait to watch him this week. And I want to ask you just a couple questions as we look at the bigger picture here with your football program. Sitting here at number 2 in the country, and you've got Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State coming up. Does it get any better than this life right now for you in college football? Sitting where you are, the challenges you've got in front of you. I think game day is coming out there this weekend. Just how cool is your life right now getting ready for all these challenges?
Well, it'd be a lot cooler if the conference broke those 3 games up and we didn't have them in a row. But, you know, that's why you play big-time football. That's why you know, come to a place like Penn State for these challenges. You know, I'd make the argument that our division, our side of the conference, you know, you can make argument, you know, maybe the best in college football. You got Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan all on the same side of the conference. So it's impressive. You know, but yeah, you know, it's funny because we're ranked number 2 in the country as a player, as a coach. You know, I've never been a part of an organization ranked that high. And, I guess part of me thinks, you know, that I would feel differently, but I don't. I still wake up every single morning early, come into the office. I'm concerned about, you know, getting our guys prepared and eliminating distractions and getting better, you know. So I don't really feel any different as an organization or as a head coach. You know, in some ways, I think a lot of these things are distractions. So I think that's one of the most important jobs that a head coach has is eliminating distractions for his staff and for his players. And you look last weekend in college football, that's why college football is so exciting. You know, how many ranked teams got upset last week? You know, so, you know, we want to learn from those things. We want to grow from those things. We got a pretty mature football team. And most important thing we can do is go out and maximize today and have the best meetings and practices we possibly can. So come Friday, we can put our head on the pillow and feel really, you know, comfortable about our preparation.
Coach, last question from me. Bucky and myself are enamored with the quarterback position. All the coaches we have on, we like to hit them with this same question. You got a good quarterback there in Trace McSorley, but when you're on the recruiting trail, you're looking at quarterbacks. If you had to just limit it right to the very most important thing, the most important trait you're looking for in that position, what is it for you?
Well, you know, I played the position. I've coached the position. Coach Moorhead does a great job. You know, for us, I think the ultimate thing is a winner. And I know that sounds obvious, but you look at Trace McSorley. I think his record was something like 50-5 in high school. They went to 4 straight state championships. He won it in 9th grade, won it in 10th grade, won it in 11th grade, 12th grade. He took them to the state championship. I think the stat is him and Allen Iverson were the only two quarterbacks in the history of the state of Virginia to take their teams to four straight state championships. So you know, there's just something about it. You know, a lot of guys can win a state championship maybe one year for a lot of different reasons, but you don't take your team to four straight without having something to you. Trace is going to walk in the room. He's not going to pass the eyeball test. He's not 6'3", 220 pounds. But he's got the it factor, the thing that we've all as coaches and as analysts been trying to figure out what that is, you know, since the beginning of time, he's got it, you know? And for us, that's kind of what I look for on the trail is finding a guy that has a lot of the traits. I think one of the big mistakes that people make is they find a guy that is really big or really fast or got a really strong arm or one trait that you get really caught up in. Where I think your odds are better if you find a guy that does a lot of things well rather than one or two traits that just blow you away. And that's what Trace has. Except for the eyeball test, he's got all the other things necessary.
Coach, that's an outstanding and thoughtful answer there. We've collected a bunch of information from coaches. That might be the best one we've got on the quarterback position. Hey, best of luck this week. Best of luck in this stretch you're getting ready to go on. It's great to see Penn State back up there in the national conversation. You got it rolling and wish you the best of luck.
Guys, we're getting better. I appreciate it. But I will leave you with this. You know, rankings at the midpoint of the season mean nothing. So we're appreciative of it. It's awesome for our program and for our kids. But you know, we're just really focused on being 1-0 this week against a great University of Michigan football team.
Thank you so much, Coach. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Bucky, fascinating chat there with James Franklin. I thought the stuff on Saquon Barkley was outstanding. But I took away the biggest thing for me. I'm so enamored by what these coaches look for in the quarterback position, and I thought he was very eloquent in describing what he's looking for.
Very eloquent in describing what he was looking for. And, you know, we keep talking about what is the secret sauce at the position, and that secret sauce may be that. Do they have the ability to win games? At the end of the day, if we're playing in the backyard, will that quarterback find a way to let my team get to the winner's circle? And so we can talk about the physical traits and the IQ and the arm strength and arm talent, but at the end of the day, can they put it together to get their guys to believe in them, and can they get their guys into the winner's circle?
All right, that's that should do it for today, but I have a surprise for you. Last week on the pod, we did something that got a lot of feedback and got a lot of people talking. People enjoyed it. We call it a little role play. We need to get a drop. We need to create a drop for role play because I want to make this something that we do week here. So you don't even
every
know
week.
The role that I have for
every
you yet.
Every week.
So you did such a good job as Tom Osborne. You played it beautifully.
I was trying to bring it back. I want
now,
to bring
I've got a new back. I've got a new role for you today.
Oh, God.
Okay, you ready?
All right, here we go.
All right, this weekend, one of the big games in college football, two top 15 teams, two longtime rivals, one of the best, the most historical rivals in all of sports. We have USC traveling to take on Notre Dame. Now, these two programs, Buck, as you know, compete for a lot of the same kids. Notre Dame comes to California a lot, and they come after a lot of the same kids, and they recruit them. So this weekend, I'm sure Notre Dame's going to have a bunch of their top recruits in campus to check out the game. And a lot of these kids are going to also be getting recruited by USC. But I need you to play the role of Brian Kelly this week.
Brian Kelly.
And I want you to sell these five-star recruits you've got on campus of why they should go to Notre Dame and not stay in Southern California and attend USC. Mr. Kelly, what do you have to say?
Oh, this is an easy one. I mean, I know you have USC on your list, and I love that fine institution out there in L.A. and La La Land. They have a lot of Hollywood people. I see Will Ferrell and all those guys out there on the sideline. However, I'm worried about your long-term development as a young man. Beyond what happens in football, because, look, you can be a football player for 4 years, but that Notre Dame family is going to take care of you for life.
But, when Coach, what about the weather?
Oh, the weather, cold weather and all that. Like, it's nice. It's going to be great. When you think about your parents, your grandparents, it is going to give you an opportunity to play football the way it should be played. If you go back and you look at all our greats, if you go back and you go into our hallowed hall and you see Era Persegian and Jerry Faust and Dan Devine and
but
all
Coach,
of our guys
Rudy
running
was
out. Yeah, I mean, but we're not worried about that. We absolutely believe that the way that we play football here in front of touchdown, Jesus, and we believe that this is the best way that you can develop as a young person playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. Man, it doesn't get better than doing it at Notre Dame.
But, Coach, you look so mad on the sideline. And Coach Helton just seems like such a nice guy. I mean,
he is a nice guy. He's one of my best buddies outside of here. But on game day, on game day, look, it gets a little intense. I want to win. I want to see you play your best. And sometimes it requires me to jump out of character. So even though I may chew on you a little bit, please know that later in the game, I'm going to come and love you up because you're my guy. We're building this thing around you. You can bring us back to prominence. We are so close. We're sitting here ranked 13th in the country. Man, with you, I think we can win the chip.
That was pretty good.
That's good. Nicely done.
Nicely done, Bucky.
Good Brian Kelly.
You stacked the deck against him.
No, I hit you with the weather. I hit you with the yelling.
The reputation, the family.
That's right. Cold weather, building character.
Do you know we spray paint our helmets?
Every week.
Friday, every week. Yeah. Friday night with the special.
Yeah, a little gold dust.
24 karat gold dust right there so it glimmers right off the light.
Ooh. All right. You don't have to play the role anymore.
Come on.
You're not Brian Kelly anymore. Now if I just ask you the kid, Bucky Brooks the kid, where are you going?
It depends what position do I play.
You're a receiver.
Gosh, I don't know if they throw enough. I have one of my kids up there, CJ Sanders.
Yeah. He's quick.
He is quick. It's tough, though, because SC, man, weather's nice. They throw it around a lot. They play a lot of guys. They may play too many guys. I don't want to share all my playing time. A little bit. Yeah. I don't know if I need to be subbed in and out. I see the hockey line substitution. They got Tyler Vaughns coming in, yeah. Michael Pittman. That's a lot of guys. Notre Dame, I don't see as much. They're running the football. Notre Dame is running the ball.
Oh, that running back. I got to do a little more work on him. Adams, he's a good player.
Man, they're running like 315 rushing yards a game. They're not a lot of throws out there for me.
Wow. I'll tell you what. Role play. Can we get something done on that? We need to get a little drop. A little drop for role play. All right,
jeez.
We'll get that done for next time. I love the fact you don't even know who you're going to be playing. That's the sign of a great actor.
Yeah, I don't.
I hand you the script and you nail it.
I didn't know we had this game. I didn't know they were playing. Man, that's a good game this week.
It's a big game. We're going to get into all the games here on the next pod. We'll make our picks for the college football weekend. We've got tons of content coming. NFL.com/MTSvideo. You can check that out. Some of you folks did a nice job leaving us some reviews on iTunes. We do appreciate that. If you haven't already, do us a solid. Hop on there and help us out. That's going to do it for us today, Buck. Move the Sticks presented by the Ford F-Series. I don't know if this is the best one we've ever done, but I think it's top 30. Easy.
Oh,
top 30.
Epic podcast.
Yeah, thanks to James Franklin again for joining us. And we'll see you next time here on Move the Sticks.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to nfl.com/podcasts.